Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Career Podcast. I am James Kemp, joined, as always, by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stewart, it is time for our end of summer mega mock. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, James. Thank you for asking. It is footbeer after dark right now. We are recording a little bit later for reasons that will become apparent here in a second, but like you say, it is mega mock time. It is the end of the off season. We are rapidly approaching week one. Most of you will probably have drafted by now, but for those of you who haven't, or those of you that just want to have a good time with us, today's episode is for you. But before we get into the deep stuff, James, I want to hear how you're doing tonight.
I'm doing really well, thanks for asking. I spent like all day at the Sturdy Shelter Brewery today. We were bottling a very special beer and dipping it in wax. So I got hot gold wax all over myself today. And all of that in the name of very strong aged beers. So that is an exciting thing. And I'll be going back tomorrow to do like a record number of cans for them. But yeah, everything is going really well. I'm feeling very zen about all of my drafts I've done so far and all of the drafts that I have coming up this weekend. It is the single biggest draft weekend for fantasy football coming up in this first weekend of September. So we have given all of you listeners lots and lots and lots of stuff to think about. But in case you wanted a little bit more and a little bit different perspectives, for our end of summer mega mock, we brought on two of the best minds we could find to hop on the show and help us do a mock draft. The first of those being a longtime listener, longtime friend, the statistical genius himself, Ethan Leach. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. And then, in the other corner, we have the reigning champion from all of our fantasy football league we do together, all the way from Washington, D.C., at George Washington Medical School. Please welcome future doctor Ryan Mendez Tucker. What's up, Tuck?
Thanks for having me. Nice to hear from everybody.
All right. So, with that, we have double the number of beers to drink that we normally have tonight. So, to start us off, Stu, what are you drinking this evening?
Yes, I have from Bell's the Oberon, which I have had this year already, so everyone should recognize that. It's an American wheat ale. Very, very tasty. Very good. Simplistic for me to and the off season. But James, what are you drinking tonight? Anything special?
So I am drinking today from Art History Brewing in Geneva, Illinois, a brewery who I've had at least one of their beers already this year. And reason I picked this one is because I've now met the brewmaster at Art History a couple times, and I'm going to be seeing them again tomorrow. And I did really like their first beer that I tried a couple weeks ago, but they corrected me. It's actually not called Kreuzen, or it's not called Krausen, which I called it. It's called Kreuzen, but I'm not drinking that beer tonight. From Art History Brewing in Geneva, Illinois, I'm drinking the Gravitas Czech style pale lager. It is 5.1%, brewed with floor malted Bohemian malt and super Zaz hops. So looking forward to that. Ethan, what are you drinking tonight?
I've been practicing my Stew impression all week. So tonight, out of Williamston, Michigan, viewers might not know I've moved to Michigan recently, out of Old Nation Brewing Company, I'm drinking their Oktoberfest German style fest lager. It's 5.7% alcohol by volume and 18 IBUs.
All right, very nice. And last but not least, Tuck, what are you drinking this evening?
All right, tonight from Atlas Brew Works,
here in DC. I have the Bullpen Pilsner, a baseball beer. Atlas is right outside Nats Stadium, the favorite for both pre and post game. And so, yeah, I got their Pilsner with me, 4.7%.
All right, very, very cool. Let's all crack these bad boys in 3, 2, 1. I can't remember if we've ever done a four-man version of the beer ASMR. So hopefully that translates well to the podcast format. Before we get going with our actual end of summer Mega Mock, we do have a couple pieces of news. Mostly just two. The first being Josh Jacobs. So we talked about him last week. By the time we were recording, he had been given a court date for November. But since we recorded last week, he has now been placed on the commissioner's exempt list. Apparently, there is now a video of the incident for which he is being charged. And he is, if you don't know what the commissioner's exempt list is, it is basically that player is exempt from all NFL activities. Can't play, can't practice, I think they can't even be in the team facilities. They are still paid, but obviously that means that Josh Jacobs is not a super relevant player for fantasy football right now, for good reason. Stu, what do you got on Josh Jacobs today?
Yeah, this could go a lot of different ways, and there's massive fantasy ramifications. Super nice of them to spring that on us in this late in the offseason. So anything can happen here. There's a broad range. He's on the exempt list right now. He could do anything from being basically ousted from the league, released by the Packers, and blacklisted a la Ray Rice, wasn't it? Yeah, Ray Rice.
Yeah, Ray Rice.
He could be reinstated and suspended for some level of games, the least of which being 6 games. That would be the softest suspension. Or, you know, he's just reinstated, period, and he plays. There's a little bit of history in how the league treats suspensions in these cases, but there's a wide range even of suspensions, ranging from 6 to double-digit games. So going into your fantasy drafts, you've got to consider all of these sorts of factors, whether you even want to put Josh Jacobs on your team. And more importantly, in my opinion, you have to consider his immediate backup, who now stands to gain the entirety of the workload that Jacobs is vacating, and that is Marshawn Lloyd. So if you've been paying attention and doing your mocks like we recommend you to do, you've seen him catapult up in ADP. Right now, I think he's rocking somewhere around the 7th or 8th rounds. Whenever I see it, it's around the Rico Dowdle, Jalen Warren sort of ranges. And that's a reasonable, I think, place for him to land. I don't think we need to overcorrect for this and get him into higher rounds. But as far as Jacobs, who is actually in ADP, I think, at least on ESPN, right around the same area, you have to consider whether you even want to waste a bench spot. Because, like I said, he could be suspended double-digit number of games. That's not IR eligible. That is just eating a spot on your bench, and it's a real drain on your resources. But you may have an RB1 if he comes back and for some reason isn't punished to a startling degree, James. Anybody from our guests have any thoughts on this? Any Josh Jacobs lovers or enjoyers or new Marshawn Lloyd subscribers? Anything from you, Ethan?
I mean, personally, Josh Jacobs wasn't really climbing up high on my list because I can just never trust what's coming out of Green Bay until you get halfway through the season. This makes it a little clearer to start off the season, I'll say that. It's unfortunate that it has to come out of this situation.
Definitely. It's a rough situation all around, and you'd like for, you know, people to be properly punished, especially in these sorts of situations. Anything from you, Ryan? I know you were first hearing about this actually quite recently.
Oh, I'm all for what you said with the proper punishment, and I hope he never plays in the league again.
True that. Yep.
For the record, I also agree with that.
I think I went on air. 4-for-4 on that. So the other piece of news we have, Kirk Cousins has officially been named the starter in Las Vegas for the Raiders over number one pick Fernando Mendoza. They had been saying this was going to happen, so I don't think this really shocks anybody. I don't really think this changes anything. It's just the fact that it happened. I want to say that I saw some stat this earlier today. Fernando Mendoza is now the first quarterback taken with the number one overall pick to not start since, I don't remember when it was, but it was a long time. It was like 2013, I want to say.
Was that Baker Mayfield?
I don't know if anybody has any. Could it be Baker Mayfield? Was Baker Mayfield taken number one overall? Oh, he was, wasn't he? Huh. Well, he's maybe he'll follow the career path of Baker Mayfield. Who knows?
Could do worse.
Could be worse.
Yeah, you could do worse. That's been Stu's favorite player to talk about this summer.
Anybody got
any thoughts on Kirko Chains?
Well, I mean, like you said, it doesn't really move the needle for me. I'm still taking Brock Bowers in the same area. I'm still hesitant to draft Ashton Jeanty in his current sprained ankle state. It's just nice to have a little bit of clarity. And we don't expect Kirk Cousins to start the entirety of the season, I wouldn't imagine. I can't imagine anybody here would think that. Mendoza will be there at some point, but it's not like he's looked all that great even against the backups in preseason. So it'll be interesting to see how he, you know, starts his NFL career.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's the last of our news. It's now time to get into the official end of season or end of summer Mega Mock. In this draft, we're going to be doing 10 teams, 11 rounds, so cutting out kickers and defenses to get to the most meat possible here. Ethan will have the number one pick, so no pressure. I will have the number three pick, Ryan will have the number six pick, and Stu will have the number nine. So, with that, Ethan, you are on the clock.
Yeah, it looks like we're doing our double flip, or third round flip, whatever you guys call it.
It's a normal snake.
I think this one's a true snake.
Yes, and it is half point PPR, if that adjusts anything that you want to do.
Yes, it is. I can actually read now. Well, I think Stu knows where I'm going to go with this. The first overall pick, I got to go with the 1-1, Mr. Jahmyr Gibbs. Out of Detroit.
Right. And right after Gibbs, Bijan Robinson is taken by the auto-drafting team there, the AI person. So for me, I basically have to decide if I want to build around a running back or a receiver. I've been spending most of my mock drafts this year building around running backs, so I'm going to try and flip that here. I'm going to take Ja'Marr Chase, who is the very clear number one wide receiver overall, and I'm going to send it to Ryan, who has two teams picking between us. Christian McCaffrey goes fourth, and Jonathan Taylor goes fifth.
You know what? I think I'm also gonna go wide receiver in the first round here. I am personally also a Detroit fan, so I gotta go with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Sun God.
Love Sun
and
God.
As it comes towards me at pick number 9, Puka Nacua goes at 7, and Jackson Smith and Jigba goes at 8. I'm really glad Puka didn't fall to me. He's got a little bit of news as well. Not only is he fighting off a lingering injury, I think I also heard something about him abusing his partner too, but that could be completely off base. In any case, I'm not drafting him in this mock. I think that I am going to shoot for one of my favorite pairings since I'm right here on the end. I'm going to go ahead and pick up James Cook from Buffalo, the running back from Buffalo, and let Team 10 go around the turn with Justin Jefferson and Devon Achan. So yes, I get exactly what I wanted. I'm going to take James Cook and pair him with Bengals running back Chase Brown.
Really
after
thought you were going to say
Saquon
Josh
Barkley
Allen.
And CeeDee Lamb. No, that would have been interesting. But yes, back to Ryan for round 2.
I need a running back now. I'm a little concerned about Ashton Gente, so I'm going to pass over him and, you know, hop on the Chargers train for this year.
So after Omarion Hampton there, we got Derrick Henry at Team 5 and Team 4 getting Kenneth Walker. Both of those teams going RB to start. So with Jamar Chase already in the bag, there's a lot of different ways I can go with this. Looking at what running backs are available, Ashton Gente is probably the best available. Kyren Williams is still there. Jeremiah Love is there. If I go running back, it's probably going to be Gente. But there are also some really good wide receiver picks. I could go A.J. Brown. I could go Drake London. I could go Nico Collins. But I'm going to go for a balanced approach here. I'm taking Gente and hoping that his current high ankle sprain issues are not a big deal. After me goes A.J. Brown, and then Ethan has the 2-3 flip.
Yeah. I think I'm also going to mix it up a bit. I've been drafting so much with our specific league, and my predictions of keepers are so many wide receivers in the first round that I might actually get the good balanced for once. So with who we have on the board out of, you know, the receiving core, I think, and, you know, coming into the summer, I was a little weary about this guy because you never know what's going to happen in this southern town. But, I might as well go for it. We're having fun here. I'm going to pick up Drake London with my second pick. And then we get to some interesting things. You know, we got some running backs that might be interesting down the line. Heard a lot of love out of the fantasy footbeer boys out of some of these guys. But, well, Sleeper wants me to take Josh Allen. Look at that. I think we're going to throw it out here. We're going to go East Coast to the West Coast and take out Kyren Williams.
All right. Now,
and
after
then
Kylan,
Team 2
Kyren
takes Josh Allen.
Yep. The AI was the first one to break the seal on the onesies. I will probably not be the second person to do it. But with Jamar Chase and Ashton Gente here, I think I'm going to go with a second wide receiver here. Nico Collins just kind of jumps off the page as the best player available, and he will be joining my squad. After that, George Pickens goes to Team 4, and Trey McBride goes to Team 5. Tuck, you are on the clock.
I mean, I see my opportunity right here to grab Brock Bowers, and I just don't know that I can pass that up, because I know with the auto drafter sitting here, it's, and with Dr. Stu coming after me, I'm not going to be able to get him again. So
you don't know me very well. taking tight ends this early, I don't love it. After Ryan goes Team 7 with Breece Hall and Team 8 with Rashi Rice. Thank you for taking Rashi Rice so I don't have to consider him. And that makes my selection really easy because I was really hoping that Malik Nabers would fall to me. I do think he's going to be healthy. I think I've said this on the pod before, but I think he'll be healthy and be really, really effective this year. At the turn, the auto-drafting Team 10 goes Olave and Devonta Smith. So they are very wide receiver heavy there at Team 10. And I've got a lot of different things to consider. Lamar Jackson sitting here on the top of the heap. Don't really love that. Jeremiah Love, no thank you at all. Javonte Williams is quite interesting. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me or wants to refute me, but Javonte Williams on an excellent offense with basically zero competition from any of his backups looks to be a pretty safe bet. And in half-point PPR, his lack of receiving game is a little bit more palatable. So I might throw in and just fill my flex slot with Javonte Williams of the Cowboys. And Team 8 goes Lamar Jackson, followed by Teddaro McMillan, pushing it back to Ryan in round 4.
Yeah, and I don't love Jeremiah Love, pun intended. And Josh Jacobs is obviously not on the table here. And so, I already got a Chargers player, though. Now I've got to start thinking about bye weeks.
I'm not a Mike McDaniel fan.
Let me see. I'm going to grab another running back, but I'm not going to go Cam Scadabo because I think his early onset CTE is probably going to get a lot worse this year in his in this year in the league. So, oh, like.
All right. So after Travis Achane for Tuck goes Zay Flowers and Jeremiah Love, taking it back to me. If I want to stay balanced, I'll need to take a running back here, or I can go wide receiver heavy. Looking at my options at running back, we do have Cam Scadabo as the top guy off the board there. David Montgomery is there. DeAndre Swift, Bucky Irving, Quinshon Judkins. At receiver, could go Ladd McConkey, T. Higgins, Emeka Egbuka. Could even go tight end with Colston Loveland, and that does seem like an attractive option here because I'm not in love with any of these guys that I'm looking at. And I do think I could get the guy I actually want in the next round. So I think I'm going to deny Ethan the chance to take a onesie here, and I'm going to take Colston Loveland. Scadabo goes immediately after me, and Ethan is up next.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay pretty balanced here. I like how I got at my one, my RB1 and my wide receiver one. And with the flip, I think I'm going to take some guys that I feel that, you know, they should be in high-powered offenses or ready for a bounce back. So I'm going to go back-to-back with Ladd McConkey. McConkey, that's how you say it. And Emeka Egbuka.
T. Higgins goes to team two there. It is back to me. I do want a running back here, and I was correct. The guy that I actually want slipped through the cracks of those two teams. I'm going to take Bucky Irving. I think that he's got a great season loading here. Team four then takes Josh Jacobs for his fourth running back in five picks. Clearly that AI is working well. team five takes Scary Terry, and it is on to Ryan.
All right. Here, you know, we practice vibes-based drafting a lot of times, you know, and the New York Jets have never really had good vibes. And so, you know what? Good vibes in Denver. So I think I'm going to go with Jaylen Waddle.
Yep. And right after that, you mentioned Garrett Wilson. He goes off the board as well. Team 7 now has four wide receivers. So the exact opposite of team 4. Team 8 takes Quinshon Judkins, pushing it to me. I have a lot of running backs. And I got to tell you, Tyler Warren is staring at me. I do not want to give Team 10 two opportunities to take Tyler Warren. So I'm going to take the onesie position and hope that a decent wide receiver falls to me in the sixth round. So after I do that, they go ahead and take David Montgomery to get their second running back and Drake May to do a onesie position for their own. Now, I could go with a wide receiver like Devontae Adams, Jameson Williams, even Luther Burden if I want to experiment. DJ Moore is sitting there as well. Or I could even go back-to-back onesie positions and take Joe Burrow. I'm not sure that attracts me too much, so I'm going to go ahead and play it safe with my wide receiver two, especially since I have neighbors at one, which bears a little bit of risk. I'm going to take Devontae Adams of the Rams. And following that goes Travion Henderson and the aforementioned DJ Moore for the fifth wide receiver going to team seven. Ryan, take it away.
Just really stacking receivers there. You know, I'm pretty balanced right now with two running backs, two receivers. I got a tight end. I like the Bears offense. I'm sorry, but I do. And so I think I'm going to take a chance on DeAndre Swift here.
Oh, you don't have to apologize for liking the Bears offense. Everybody
should
like
be really
the
good
offenses here.
Hey, you know.
Especially since I was thinking about the Bears today, and like their defense was, you know, a little bit worse than we're used to seeing the Bears defense be last year. But then over the offseason, I'm not sure they really improved that much on the defensive side of the ball, which means that their offense should be needing to score a lot to win. So that's a good idea to have about the Bears. After Ryan goes Jameson Williams and Jadarian Price. So I've got a perfectly balanced team right now with Jamar Chase, Nico Collins, Ashton Jeanty, and Bucky Irving with Colson Loveland as a tight end. Right now I'm looking for my flex, and I see a guy who I have been very high on basically this whole offseason. I wanted to see if I could stretch it out and get him in our last mock draft, and it didn't work, so I'm just going to take him right now. I've got Bashaw Tootin. And over to Ethan after Lutherburg.
I was just about to take him, too.
Sniped.
Now, listeners at home, you might not know this, but I'm pretty convinced that this podcast is just a loosely veiled attempt for James to learn the drafting habits and get intel in our league.
Oh, 100%.
So I'm hesitant to follow what I've been kind of planning, you know, experimenting with in my drafts. Looking at the board, you know, I've got Jahmyr Gibbs, Drake London, Kyren Williams, Ladd McConkey, and Emeka Egbegbu. So, and with the quarterback prospects, I kind of feel like I might be able to wait for my next flip, you know. So, totally telegraphing my position, and now having to look past Bashaw Tootin. I'm also going to get excited for the Bears offense. You know, I might be reaching a bit here, but I'm going to go the former Husky, Roma.
Go Dogs!
Go Dogs. And further exposing my draft strategy, I feel like, you know, with the current crop left over, I can wait on tight end as well. So keep looking down my own list, which I need to do a little bit of updating on. We got good potential down here. I've been binging the Fantasy Foot Beer trying to get caught up. So one of the last episodes I listened to had a lot of praise for this guy from Mile High, J.K. Dobbins. Bit of a reach.
I'm standing on the table.
But we're having
on
fun.
On the table.
I'm here to catch you.
All right. Yeah, when the table collapses, like Josh Allen's flying through it.
All right, after J.K. Dobbins,
I thought the
Mike
point of that, I thought the point of that was to take a player that is, you know, unsung later in drafts, and we're going to stand on the table for them. And then James takes Chase Brown, who is arguably a first round pick.
I mean, it was arguing that he should be a first rounder, but was going as a second rounder. Right now, it seems like the markets have adjusted, and Chase Brown is now a first rounder, and at least in 12-team mocks, as I think he should. But going to my pick this round, I need either a quarterback or wide receiver. I am very willing to let quarterbacks go, and I do see a wide receiver that I am targeting at the top of the list. Christian Watson joins the team again. Damn. So between me and Tuck goes Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels. Ryan, you're on the clock.
You know what? I was thinking I was going to get stuck with Jaden Daniels, and I was concerned about that. But then, you know, Team 5, with their excellent decision-making this draft day, took Jaden Daniels. And you know what? I think I'm also going to do a vibes-based pick, and I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a really good year this year, and so I'm going to go with him.
I agree with you.
I'm rolling my eyes really, really hard because I would have taken Christian Watson, and since he was taken, I was going to take Jalen Hurts.
Well, that's what happened.
Double snipe.
Sucks to suck.
Doctors too.
Yes.
Let's have some realistic.
I do want to address something that was mentioned a little bit earlier by Ethan, and there is a non-zero chance that I still do this podcast. This is our fourth year, just to make sure I understand what James thinks about people.
I mean,
it doesn't help
then,
much,
sure.
I promise. Like, in the moment, during our actual draft, it doesn't actually help me, because James will just pull out these random out-of-pocket picks, like he's been hiding them the entire offseason. He does something, and I'm like, I have no idea what the hell you just did. But just to catch everybody up on my mock team, we got James Cook, Chase Brown, Malik Nabers, Javonte Williams, Warren, and Davante Adams. So I have filled everything outside of my quarterback position. There are several quarterbacks that I've been very vocal about liking. So I'm totally okay not taking a quarterback right here. I'm going to fill out my bench, and I'm going to take a guy that everybody knows that I like, and that's Parker Washington, wide receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars. At the flip, Team 10 goes Tucker Kraft and DK Metcalf. So they have filled their entire lineup as well and are filling out their bench. So now I could take a quarterback, really whichever one I want, be it Caleb Williams or Justin Herbert. Dak Prescott is still on the board. Lawrence is still on the board, and so is the good old Patrick Mahomes. Personally, I'm going to take a bet that Chicago finally gets a 4,000-yard passer, and I'm going to go ahead and take the Iceman non-trademark, I think, and take Caleb Williams. Sending it to Team 8, who takes Kyle Pitts, followed by Team 7, who goes R.J. Harvey, and now it's Ryan's turn in the 8th round.
Similarly, I've filled out my entire team to include my quarterback by this point, and so I am just looking for bench players. I think that just to build some depth at a position that sometimes gets injured a little more than others, I'm going to take Jaylen Warren and add a running back to my bench.
All right, after Warren goes Marvin Harrison and Carnell Tate, and I got to say, you guys give me a lot of credit with the fantasy football espionage thing, and I'm not going to deny it goes through my mind. I think about throwing out smoke screens, and, you know, sometimes I might or might not do it, but you'll never know until draft day. But I am either in need of a quarterback or bench depth. Given the fact that we're in a 10-team league, I am extremely willing to wait on quarterback. I am planning on either being the last team to take their quarterback, or maybe not if people start taking backups. But despite the fact that there are quarterbacks down there that I do like, I am going to try and get a little depth. A couple guys I'm seeing that I like. I do like Cortland Sutton, despite the fact that Jalen Waddle is there. I don't mind Rico Dowdle in Pittsburgh. We don't really know how that backfield is going to shape up with Jaylen Warren there. I think that with this being half-point PPR, I'm going to defer to the running back when I can, and I'm going to take Rico Dowdle. Brian Thomas goes after that, and Ethan is on the clock.
Man, Stu has just been all over guys I've been wanting to target. Like, I've been very quietly a Parker Washington guy since I picked him up last year. And, you know, I think he's a sneaky guy to get in on some rosters this year.
Well, he's not sneaky anymore.
He's not
everybody
sneaky anymore.
Everybody listens to Fantasy Footbeer. So.
Everybody does. You said every name and everyone listens.
Every single person in the world listens to Fantasy Footbeer.
So I feel I should even out my bench a little more, maybe a little more coverage. And there's just some fun guys to throw some darts at, I feel, at this point. I can't believe he's still around, just in the league in general. We're going to throw it over to the seldom mentioned Tony Pollard. And I feel now as good a time as any. If we're in a 10-team league and most everyone has picked out their quarterback, I'm going to let James be the last guy. And we're going to get fully loaded with some Justin Herbert.
All right. Cortland Sutton then goes to Team 2, as I am now joined in my war room by Indy the dog. He has crawled under my desk and has his head in my lap, so he is assisting with this pick. Lot of good choices here. If I was going to take a quarterback right now, it would be between Dak Prescott and Trevor Lawrence. I do like both of those guys this year, but I'll let Team 7, who is the last team left to take a quarterback, make that decision for me, unless everybody decides to start taking backups, which we have a couple teams that have gone scarily one position, so anything could happen here. But I am looking at guys like Chuba Hubbard, Jonathan Brooks, Michael Wilson, Chris Godwin, Blake Corum is down there too. I think, again, kind of deferring to running backs in this format, I do like Jonathan Brooks here with the preseason he's been having, and hoping that he overtakes Chuba Hubbard in a double-headed backfield. Chuba Hubbard goes immediately after that, along with Chris Godwin, and Ryan has the floor.
Man, team five. I'm a Chris Godwin fan, and I have been for a while. So I need to reevaluate this draft pick because I need some depth at receiver.
Ooh. I'm going to feel so vindicated when Chris Godwin has a bad season. I don't understand it. He's old.
He's just been reliable for me, okay?
I'm glad he has been, but today's a new day.
Chris Godwin has been awesome every season he's been in the league for like the four games he plays before he gets
hurt. Yeah, I was going to say, except last year.
I think, has anyone taken a rookie yet? I haven't been paying attention to the auto-picking teams very much, but I think I'm going to try to stack some receiver and quarterback points here, and that's a cool name, and I'm going to take Lemon.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have taken any rookies. Lots of second-year guys, but I don't know if anybody's, like, forgotten. We kind of just already talked about him at the top of the show, but why would I not take Marshawn Lloyd right here?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that, like, the markets haven't adjusted yet. Like, the ADPs still have Marshawn Lloyd far down the list, but, like, we should probably all, like, circle him wherever he is on the ADP list because he should go probably, I don't know, three or four rounds higher than he's going here. It's yeah.
Yeah,
anyway,
he should be going above RJ Harvey, Chuba Hubbard, Jay Brooks. What is his name? Jonathan? I don't know. Who cares?
Jonathan, yeah.
After I took that, Jordan Mason and Kenny Gainwell both went. Both players I'm pretty high on, so I'm fine getting Lloyd. And then I think I'm going to just keep filling out the bench. I believe that Alec Pierce is a good pick right here as my wide receiver four, the current wide receiver one for Indianapolis, subject to whatever happens to, what's his name, Keenan Allen. I'm done with my beer, by the way. I'm going to push it over to Ryan after Michael Wilson and Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt are taken, leading Ryan into the 10th round.
You know what? On the train of Colts, former Colts, I think I'm going to go Michael Pittman here.
Oh, man, yeah.
If
great season incoming.
After Pittman goes Kyle Manungai, and I cannot believe that Harold Fannin lasted into the 10th round. He should have gone, I think should have gone before Sam Laporta and definitely before Kyle Pitts. You could make a judgment call on whether or not you like Tucker Kraft over him, but Harold Fannin lasting that long is crazy. But with that, I've got options. I only have two picks left, so I don't really lose much unless both Team 2 and Ethan decide to go backup quarterback, and even then, I've got three guys I like at quarterback here, and I don't feel like I'm missing much. So this is a situation where I got to go get my guy, and who my guy is, I'm not totally sure, because we are in a 10-person, 11-round draft, and if this were an actual league we were doing, this would usually be a person you'd be okay dropping to go get whoever's the best guy on waivers after week one. But guys, I'm looking at, I'm going to take a receiver here. I like Stephon Diggs. I like Casey Concepcion. I really like Dejon Stribling, and I even like Wandale Robinson. I've been a fan of his for a few years now. But the guy I'm actually going to take is the guy who I think is going to be the actual best receiver in LA with the Chargers this year. I'm taking huge Quentin Johnston. And after that goes George Kittle. And over to Ethan.
Man, I don't know what's happened, but I feel like I've just been so stew-pilled. I was looking at Alec Pierce, looking at Caleb Williams, Parker Washington, like I said. So something you're doing on your show is either working or killing me. Looking at what we have left, you know, exposing my strategy again, we're looking at, you know, I got the last two picks here. And, you know, if you know me, you know I'm going to be a streaming tight end, so I didn't really value it so much on this. But, you know, I'm going to go against what I usually do and stay as far away from the Browns as I can. And I'm gonna go ahead and pick on KC Concepcion. And then, as we keep going, might as well pick out my tight end now. I might as well throw it out to... Oh, right, he's in... I was going to say Isaiah Likely, but I forgot he was moved. Let's run it back. Old time's sake. Let's go Mark Andrews.
All right, after Mark Andrews goes Dalton Kincaid. See, I knew someone was going to double up on onesies. Team 2 took George Kittle and Dalton Kincaid in back-to-back picks. And with my last pick, I guess I have to take a quarterback.
You don't know.
Oh, darn.
Only if I want to field a full legal team. So I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence. Travis Kelce goes to Team 4, who also just took Harold Fannin. Jordan Addison goes to Team 5, and we go to Ryan's last pick.
I do really like Trevor Lawrence. It's crazy that you can take him this late in a 10, since it's a 10-team league.
Sure.
I mean, and there's like Patrick Mahomes. It looks like he's going to go undrafted. Bo Nix, last year's MVP, looks like he's going to go undrafted. It's crazy.
I think I'm going to take a chance.
I like that pick.
It's savvy. It's a savvy pick. After that goes Jaden Reed to Team 7 just to get another wide receiver on that team because they didn't have enough. And Jake Ferguson as the backup tight end for Team 8. Looking at my options, there's just, I mean, anything. Where do you want to go? There's just a plethora of options, thankfully, for me. I'm just going to go ahead and try to take best available or someone that I think is going to springboard up in his rookie season, and that's Dejon Stribling. Let's go ahead and take him, and the draft rounds out with Jordan Tyson. So if each of us could go and just run down our lineups, things that you were excited to draft, things that surprised you, and any thoughts on the draft as it rounds out. Ethan, since you were in first position, can I push it to you first?
Of course. With the first overall pick in the draft, I took Jahmyr Gibbs out of Detroit. Then Drake London, wide receiver, Kyren Williams, running back, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Amika Egbegbu, wide receiver, Roma Dunze, wide receiver, J.K. Dobbins, the running back, Tony Pollard, the running back, Justin Herbert, the quarterback, the rookie KC Concepcion, wide receiver, and tight end Mark Andrews. It definitely feels different doing a more balanced draft than trying to get the extract as much value as I can working around keepers, so it's definitely a refresh. It's been a week or two since I've done my last mock, so it's definitely good to get reacquainted with the subtly different rankings, but don't feel like I reached too much. You know, I threw it out there for J.K. Dobbins for fun, but I struggle with focusing on floor. Having a good floor in my player is when I should really be going for ceiling. So I'm going to try and go for that on the next one.
Mm-hmm. You don't win championships with floor. That's for sure.
You don't.
That is true. All right. If I am next here, my draft went Jamar Chase, Ashton Jeanty, Nico Collins, Colston Loveland, Bucky Irving, Bashaul Tuten, Christian Watson, Rico Daddle, Jonathan Brooks, Quentin Johnston, and Trevor Lawrence. I'll say not a ton that really surprised me in this draft other than, you know, some guys dropping farther than I thought they would. We, as a draft here, kept it pretty conservative at quarterback, so I was able to get Trevor Lawrence with my last pick in the 11th round there. One thing that, looking back, I wish I would have done with my last get your guy pick, where I took Quentin Johnston. Normally, that's a position where I like to take high upside rookies who have clear paths to production. And I think I kind of got smacked over the face with one that I missed. Stu took Dejan Stribling with his last pick. And if I could take that back and take Dejan Stribling, I probably would have. But as far as like team composition goes, I got really high-end wide receivers earlier so that I could build around running backs in a half-point PPR setting. So I'm happy with what I got here, and I think I would go to war with this on any given Sunday. So, Ryan, you're up.
All right. I took Amon-Ra St. Brown, first pick, Marion Hampton, Brock Bowers, Travis Aikman, Jalen Waddle, DeAndre Swift, Jalen Hurts, Jalen Warren, Makai Lemon, Michael Pittman, and Stephon Diggs. I want to be honest. This is the first time in a while that I've drafted in a 10-team league, so I think I was caught up in the fact that there were some names still on the list when in a 12-team league, keepers there aren't always as big a names early on, and so might have gotten a little distracted, but overall I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And to round out our foursome, my team consists of James Cook III in my first overall pick, running back out of Buffalo, followed by Chase Brown, who's going to fill my RB2 slot, Malik Nabers, who will hopefully be healthy and be my wide receiver one. Javonte Williams was one that I felt was falling a bit too far, and as a flex, I think he's perfectly reasonable. Tyler Warren fills my tight end slot admirably. Then we've got Davante Adams, Parker Washington back-to-back to kind of make up for my running back-heavy start. Then I've got Caleb Williams coming in as my quarterback. Marshawn Lloyd, I was the beneficiary of him dropping pretty far in the draft, so I'm quite happy with my running backs overall. If I had to replay this draft, it would be my next selection, Alec Pierce in the 10th. While I'm perfectly happy with Alec Pierce, and I think he'll have a good season, Ryan taking Michael Pittman just a few picks later and making me realize that Michael Pittman was still on the board, I would have rather taken Pittman than Pierce personally. And then, like James said, Dejan Stribling there at the very end is a score. I wanted to go running back there, but there really just wasn't anything that I, you know, wanted to throw on the end of my roster. So overall, quite happy with everything. Like James said, I would go to war with this team. I'd be very, very happy if it ended up being my team starting the 2026 season. And that's that. That's an off season, James. How are we feeling at Fantasy Foot Beer headquarters?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm trying to think about who I think won this draft. Normally it gives like a grade, even on a sleeper, it does. At least it did last time. I'm not seeing it giving us one here unless you, Stu, as the lobby owner, got one. But
no.
I think if I could pick someone who I think won this draft, I think we all picked pretty well-balanced teams, pretty good teams. I think I might give this one to... Actually, I think I'm going to give this one to Ryan. Because I really like Jalen Hurts. I think he got the best quarterback out of any of us. If Omarion Hampton hits, that's as good as any RB1 you could get. Sun God, if he performs at his best level, is going to be great. It's just an all-around really good team. So, but any of these teams could very easily win. I almost picked Stu's, but...
almost. You couldn't give it to me, could you?
I couldn't. I absolutely couldn't.
Stu was my pick.
It's called Fierce Fantasy Rival for a reason, Stu. Guys, this is the last time, or at least on Fantasy Foot Beer, that we are mock drafting. Everything after this for listeners and contestants, competitors, whatever, alike, everything from this point is live. From here on out, it's not mock draft season. It's not prep season. It is fantasy football season. and we are very excited to bring you all along with us. Extremely special thanks to our guests today. We'll give them first shots at closing thoughts today. Ryan, your closing thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I'm coming off the win here. Ready for this upcoming season.
All right. Ethan, closing thoughts.
You just had to bring it up, didn't you?
I did.
I mercifully didn't mention who Ryan beat in that championship game, which was a factor in deciding who came on this show today. So, sorry to steal the mic from you there.
I did say at the banquet that if there's anyone I wanted to lose the Benny Bowl to, it was Ryan, and you know, to get his first Benny Bowl championship, but. Just get out there and mock. You got the time to get a couple more mocks in. You know, our big draft is coming up this weekend, but I definitely got to get a couple more mocks in to knock the rust off. We, you know, it's a fun and weird hobby that we have, but, you know, it's a fun one. And, you know, it's accessible to most, but the more we talk about it, the weirder we look, hence having just done a whole podcast about it.
Mm-hmm. And Stu, your closing thoughts for the evening.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to interact with us, any four of us, I suppose, we can pass your questions or comments along to Ethan and Ryan if you have direct questions for them. But you can interact with us on our socials. We're Fantasy Footbeer on both Instagram and X. We also accept emails with questions or beer requests, fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. And, you know, we're in it. Draft season is now. We're about to start the regular season. We are not going away here at Fantasy Footbeer. You can still listen to us every single week. We will have an episode for you covering as much content as we can, and it'll be just good to hang out. So hang out with us throughout the regular season. It's going to be a great fantasy football season, and you can't really talk about it with people in your everyday life, right? You can't just say, I love fake football. Come talk about it with us. Because we understand you, and we commiserate, and we're also addicted to this hobby, too. As I push it to James to round out the evening, just thank you guys again for following along with us in this offseason. We are looking forward to 2026. Could not be more excited. James, take us home for the evening.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking with us through an entire offseason of Fantasy Footbeer podcasts. Our long national nightmare is almost over. You are running out of sleeps until you can say, I wish it was football season, because guess what? There's already been college football on the TV. We've already had week zero. Coming up here, we've got our first full slate of college football games. And then, you know what? We are exactly 1 week away right now from the opener for the NFL down in Australia. So it is time for us all to lock in. If you have not already drafted, it's time to get into the headspace of going about things the right way, about making sure you maximize the outputs from your team, making sure that you know your enemies, that you go on your friends' podcasts and figure out their strategies. And we are very excited to be going along into the regular season with all of you. Our next episode is going to be our week one preview. And for all of us here at Fantasy Footbeer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Ryan Mendez Tucker, for Ethan the Fishman Leach, and Indy the Dog, Pixel the Cat, Kyle the Cat, good night, good talk.